You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
What is going on, everybody? Thank you for joining us. It's an exciting episode, Tim. Very exciting. We do a lot of interviews with players. It's nice. Lots of high draft picks. Lots of guys who have a lot of, you know, swag behind them. A lot of, you know, cachet. It's not very often we get a guy that it's just salted the earth. I feel like I am Michael Pezzetta. I feel like I was him 20 years ago. I can look at him. I'm like, man, this guy, he's got something. It's fun to watch him. He's got, as Tim likes to say, he's hungry. And there's not many guys in the league right now that are hungry. Everyone's very complacent. It's a very soft league. So when someone comes along and you notice them and like, that guy's finishing every check. That guy's like got the fire in his belly. You got to get him on the show. So that's what we're doing. Michael Pezzetta, thank you for joining us. What's going on, my friend?
Hey guys, just chilling here at the hotel. Thanks for having me and pretty excited.
You sound excited. You sound just very amped up to be on the show. I'm very happy to hear that. I can feel the energy in your voice. The way we work this, Michael, I wanted to start from the beginning. Where you juniors? You're from Toronto. I'm from St. Catharines, so I'm very familiar with that area. Good hockey growing up in Toronto. Where did you get your start? Did you play travel? Did you play tier one, tier two? How was that, you know, growing up in that area?
So just growing up, I started just whatever. House league select, I went to AAA like when I could. And then my first year, like minor Adam, then they took away hitting. And I was a pretty big kid back then. So I played with the older guys for a few seasons. And then I came back down to my own age in Bantam, I think. And then I got drafted out of the Senators. Mississauga Senators is where I played my draft year. I got drafted first round of Sudbury, 11th overall, actually. And then started there.
So you're a pretty high draft pick to the OHL. I got drafted to the OHL. I think it was in the 23rd round. So we differ there. But coming into Sudbury, the high expectations, right? The team's struggling. You're coming in. First few years, not so hot. Not so good in Sudbury. What do you learn playing for just a bad team? And I'm going to say it, Frank. Sudbury was atrocious the first year. Yeah. What do you learn? How do you, a kid coming in from Mississauga, is that a good experience? Is that a bad experience?
It was tough. Like our first year, we won 12 games. Second year, we won 16 games. Like that's not easy on anybody. Like there was times where you're on some pretty long losing streaks and like, just, I don't want to say it wasn't fun to come to the rink because it's like, it still was, you're playing hockey, but it was tough. Like it was tough, like 17, 19 game losing streaks. Like those aren't easy, but I guess you learn to just kind of battle adversity. Like things were never easy there. Like you always had to come to the rink and put your work boots on. And you know, when you're winning, like you get days off, you get to have a little bit more fun. When you're losing, it's, times are tough. Like you get bagged after those 3-3s the next day. It's not a day off. You show up to the rink, you're getting bagged. Like it was some tough times those first couple of years, but it made you appreciate like winning a lot more.
It does make the wins a lot sweeter. That's for sure. You're coming into your NHL draft year around that same time. Do you have any aspirations of getting drafted? Because like you said, 12 wins, 16 wins, not a lot of scouts probably at the games. I looked at your teams at that time, not a lot of high draft picks. What was the chatter like? Did you have an agent? What was everybody saying in your circle? Like, oh, expect to be drafted, you know, maybe we'll be a free agent. What was going on at that time?
Yeah. So I thought like my second year, I had a good year. I mean, I play kind of the same way I did now. I just hard hockey. And as a 17-year-old, I mean, we're on a tough team, but I thought I had a pretty good season. So going into the draft, it was kind of like you could go anywhere from 4 to 7 kind of thing. That was what my agent was saying. And then he knows the way I am, and he knows that I wouldn't have been happy if I went to the draft and I didn't get drafted. Just like personally, like I just didn't want to bring my whole family down and kind of be embarrassed that way. So I gave him a call before the draft. I was like, hey, look, like, was in Buffalo and I was like, should I go? Should I not? And he said, come to the draft. And so I came down just with my immediate family, like my parents and my brother, and then ended up getting drafted to Montreal. And that was a pretty crazy experience. And it was something like I'm just happy that it worked out, and I'm happy that I did go down and got to bring my family with me, and it was pretty fun.
Growing up, I was in St. Catharines. You were in Toronto, big Leafs nation. I hated Montreal. Did you also hate Montreal when you were a kid?
I don't think I hated Montreal. Obviously, I was a Leafs fan growing up, and I always watched the Leafs, and everything was Leafs. Like it's hard not to. Same as you see the culture here, like it's Habs. So growing up, I was definitely a Leafs fan, and definitely if the Leafs were playing the Habs, you definitely wanted the Leafs to stomp all over them. But I don't think I had that hatred that some fans do, but I was definitely a Leafs fan growing up.
Makes sense. You mentioned your style of play in Sudbury. Usually guys who I played with, who are the pests that I played with, like the Cal Clutterbucks, the Steve Ott's, those guys, the Patrick Kletas, they were the point getters in the OHL. People don't think that, but like Steve Ott put up 100-some points, Cal Clutterbuck, like 80 goals in the OHL. You have been the same type of player everywhere you've gone. You've never put up insane amounts of points, but you've always been a hard worker, done everything right, always been a leader on your team. How does that translate? Because most times it doesn't translate. You get to the NHL, you get to the AHL, and your skill doesn't match up at the next level. You know, mm-hmm. You're a hard worker, great, but so was that guy who scored 50 goals in the O. How did you manage to keep up going from Sudbury to Laval? Because that's a big jump. It really is.
Yeah. So in Sudbury, like I always got along with everybody, and I always had good relationships with the coaches and everything like that, but I always just fit a role. Like I was always that third line checker and shut down, like try to play shutdown anyways. It's tough when your team's losing as many games as you are. But I just played that third line role. I'd play some PK, never got on the power play kind of thing. And then my last year in Sudbury, the coach just gave me a chance. We got a new coach, Corey Stillman, and he sat me down before the season. He's like, look, like I know you can play, like, and I know like maybe you can show more than what you are. So I think that year he just threw me on the first line, and I just ran with it, and I took off, and my numbers were a lot better my fourth year. So after that, I felt pretty like confident in myself. And I knew that coming to pro, I'd be battling for a position again and kind of starting from the bottom. But it's almost like I knew what to expect because I'd been there. Like a lot of these guys coming out of junior and stuff, they used to play in 25 minutes a night on the first line. Like they hadn't gone through that adversity yet. So for me, it's like when I jumped up, like I knew I might not be playing that many minutes, but like I knew how to adapt to that. Same as like now coming in the NHL, it's like I've gone and played those games where you're playing 6 minutes a night and it's hard to get in the game. And like I figured it out when I was younger that it's like every shift counts. Like you can't, like it's just a lot, it's a different mentality. Like you can't sit there, like I've sat on the bench and sat there and worried like, hey, like, fuck, like, I'm sorry. Why, it's my bad. Shoot, like, why am I not out there? You want to be a part of the game. You want to be involved, but your shifts are 15 minutes apart, or you maybe don't even get on that period. And then all of a sudden you're playing all the time. So it's just like, it's how to adapt. And I figured I adapted to that early. And now it's like, you can adjust to it more and I'm ready for that.
I've never thought of it that way. That's really, really smart. That's really good. You don't realize how hard it is to sit around and not play and to mentally wrap your head around not being the best player on the team or in another lineup or potentially not getting a shift for minutes and minutes at a time. That's a skill that people actually don't usually have. Have you seen that? Because you've made the transition, you went, they're big jumps. Like you're in the NHL. This is not like, you know, men's league. You went from the OHL, you went to the AHL, you went to the NHL. Do you see guys get passed over? Cause I know I did, going from the A to the NHL, dozens of guys who were way more skilled than I. Do you just like look at them and go, man, I wish you had a little bit of, I don't know, you throw in shade, but like a work ethic, you know, a little bit of backbone.
I remember this story when I was in junior, and I don't know, we were just talking with the guys, and this one guy looks at me and he's like, oh, I wish like all I had to do was work on my hands, and like that's what would get me to the next level. And like I didn't say anything at the time, but in my head I thought, I wish all I had to do was work hard, and that's what would push me to the next level. Like little does he know, like I'm sitting in my backyard shooting 300-400 pucks a day, stick handling every single day on top of my workouts, on top of my skates, right? So it's just like, you don't know the situation. And a lot of those guys, it's like, all you got to do is work hard and like be willing to play a specific role. Like I know it's not easy and it's hard on your body. It's hard on things, but it's like, that's how you got to get your foot in the door. Right. Like I understand you have a lot of skill, but right now all they can afford to give you is 7 minutes on the fourth line. It's like, now if it's between me and you, and I can play these 7 minutes on the fourth line better than you can, right? Because it's like, yes, like you need to be skilled, you need to be able to play, but it's just like that 7 minutes needs to be played a certain way. And if you're not able to do that, that's going to push you ahead of all those guys that maybe if you're playing on the first line, they might put up more points than you would. But that 7 minutes that you're playing on the fourth line, like I know I can do a better job than most people doing that. So to me, it's like, how can I be the best player at that? And then you get your foot in the door. And like every summer I'm working so that maybe one day if they put me up to third line, it's like, hey, look, I can play here. Or like I have the skills to be ready to make a jump to play more minutes. But you got to get your foot in the door somehow.
And you can't bitch and moan about not getting your opportunities. When they come, you have to take advantage of them. That's another huge aspect is a mental to be able to humble yourself and be like, you know what? Ugh, I'm not a first line guy just yet. So maybe I have to work at it. I'm happy with a fourth line role right now, but I'll get my chance. And a lot of guys can't handle it. They honestly can't.
Yeah. And it's just like, you got to stick around. It's like, what am I going to do today to stick around? It's like, yeah. You can't show that you can play in the first line if you're not there when it's time to show that. Right.
Yeah.
Like there's injuries, there's things happen in a game during a season. And it's just like, if you're not if you couldn't stick around because you weren't willing to do what it takes to stay in that position, it's like, you can never show something else.
Well, sticking around, you're in the NHL now. We'll fast forward a little bit. I want to go back to your AHL career in a second, but you mentioned sticking around. You get called up to the NHL. You're with the big boys. What do you do out of the gate? You challenge the toughest guy in the NHL for the last 5 years, Ryan Reeves. You're unknown. Even Ryan Reeves himself was like, who is this kid? I know I fought a guy out of the AHL. I had no idea who he was. He beat the tar out of me. So there's this unknown factor. I'm expecting to go to hockeyfights.com, which we are the proud sponsor of, by the way. We're collaborators. I'm like, Pezzetta's got to have 100 fights in the AHL. He's got to be an absolute animal in the OHL. You're barely scraping double-digit fights in your whole career. How does that happen? How does that whole situation, because we know Ryan, he's been on the show many times. What is going through your head when you're tapping him on the pads being like, hey, big boy, like let's take us through that sequence of events, because it takes a lot of sack to go up and ask Ryan Reeves to fight.
Yeah. Like for me, I fought when I had to, like I play hard, and you know that when you play hard, like fights come around, and I'm someone that if someone's trying to take liberties on my teammates, I'm always going to step in there and do everything I can. So for me, like, obviously I know who I'm playing against and I know he's on the ice. So you just come across the ice and he finished a hit on me. I thought it was a little bit late. And before the game, I just told myself, like, if it happens, it happens. And he hit me and I was like, hey, this is the chance. Like, I just wanted to show everybody in the league, like, hey, I'm not scared of nobody. Like, I might not win this fight right now. And it's just like, you got to learn, like, unless you're taking reps and like fighting guys, like you can't get better at doing that. Right. But I was just like, I want to show everybody that I want to be here. Like I'm willing to do anything that it takes to be here and I'm not scared of anyone. So when he hit me, I just hit him on the shin pad and I was like, hey, let's go. And I know he made a big scene of it after the game. Like I was chasing him around and stuff, but I literally just said, let's go once. And I thought he was going to turn around and give me the old, like, oh, who are you, kid? Like one of those. And he kind of just turned around, took his gloves off. And I was like, ooh, that was easy. And
never mind.
Yeah. And then we went. Obviously, I want to do a little bit better than that. You can break down the fight. I didn't get my grab off the start, and then I was kind of swimming from there. Like when I came in for my grab, he grabbed my left hand and he pulled it down, and my hole was on his stomach at that point. So I know he's going to come overhand right, and then which he did, but I had to duck under it. And the minute I duck under it, he's a strong guy. I'm swimming after that, so it's just damage control. But I didn't really hit me with anything in the head that hurt. And got some respect from my teammates. And I know a lot of guys in the league and even on the ice have come up to me and said, like, hey, good job, kid. So,
yeah, not embarrassing yourself whatsoever. I would say not a lot of guys would drop him with Ryan Reeves. Like that just says that in itself. I mean, no one's saying you're embarrassing yourself at all. So let's back up a little bit. You were already a fan favorite in Montreal. Then you go out and you fight Ryan Reeves. You're finishing every check. I've watched a lot of stuff on you. I've done some research. The fans love you. Their first initial reaction of you was this crazy animal skating around the rink with your hair flying everywhere. Okay. I'm just going to tell you my first game in Montreal. I wanted to go no bucket. they wouldn't let me because they're like, it's not a part of the team rules. Everyone's got to have their bucket on, chin strap done up. How do you get that treatment? And John Scott coming off All-Star MVP, I got to tape and snap and glue my helmet on. And I just want to go out and have a good time for my last NHL game. What do you have that I don't, Michael? How does that happen?
I just guess I just had a great set of hair, and the boys took my helmet before that lap anyways. But after a couple quick laps around the ice, they made sure I had to put it back on. But I don't know if you've watched the warmups the last couple games. There's about 10 guys with no helmets anymore. So
you started something.
I don't know. It's not me. I think something else happened. But yeah, guys are back to an old bucket, showing off for the fans a little bit.
That was a Bergevin rule. It really was. When I went there, I wanted to do a no bucket lap. I was very excited, and I was in the tunnel like you were, getting geared up for the game. And someone came over, one of the guys on the staff, like, we don't do no buckets here. You got to put your helmet on. Bergie said no buckets. So it's kind of lame. I'm glad you guys are back to that. What was funny was you stepped on the ice. You want to go bar down. You want to do something classy. Everyone's watching. You're the only guy on the ice. You rip one top of the circle. It goes right along the ice, right in the middle of the net. Did that phase you at all? Or were you just like,
no, I was just working on a breakaway move. I figured a lot of guys are going 5-hole nowadays. practice what you're going to do in a game, right? So I figured I'd snap one 5-hole, and I was pretty nervous, and I was just skating around. Don't fall over right now, and all the eyes are on you. So that was pretty funny. Some of the boys tripped me a little bit for that one.
No, that's a special moment. That's really cool.
I mean, the Reeves fight is obviously pretty significant, but did you have another in your first game or first couple of games, welcome to the NHL moment where you're, take a big hit from someone or lining up against the faceoff against someone like Jason Spezza or someone like that, where you're like, wow, I'm in the show now?
Yeah, I mean, every game, it seems like you're playing someone that's pretty cool. And I mean, the first road trip we went on, it was Detroit, Boston, New York. You're in Detroit, then you're in Boston, Marchand, Pasternak, then you go over to New York and you have Panarin and just playing at MSG. There was a couple moments. It's almost like every game, I'm just trying to soak everything in a little bit, but also I belong. I show that I belong here. And it's pretty cool, though. And I know it's cool for all my buddies and my family, too. It's just you've been watching these guys growing up and playing in junior and through the minors and stuff. And now it's you're on TV playing against them. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, you've been around. You've had your welcome to the NHL moment. Everything is good. You have a veteran team there in Montreal. There's a lot of guys, to kind of guide you potentially. When you came in, there was a lot happening in Montreal when you came in. There's the whole Carey Price thing, Cole Caulfield. You mentioned him, I think, before we came on. He was struggling. No one knows what to do with him. Bergevin, there was that whole issue. Is he going to stay? Is he going to go? It wasn't, a very good situation to step into. Who on the team kind of took you under their wing and said, hey, you know what? Not really show you how to do things, but what was the reception like when you stepped into that locker room?
Honestly, it's a great group of guys there. Everyone gets along with each other. All of the older guys have been awesome with me and just really helped me just be comfortable. From the minute I got in, Weidman, one guy, I know Toffoli, my first day there, I made sure I had a place to stay. And if not, he was going to let me stay at his place before the game. And Ben Sherratt, all these guys have just been awesome with me. And I know all the other young guys that have got called up. So I think it's honestly just a really good group of guys there. I mean, the outcome of the games right now isn't what anyone wants, but in the dressing room and stuff, guys are still positive and guys are really good with each other.
Ding dong, it's Tim. Listen, I don't know if you've heard, we haven't really talked too much about it, but we actually have a sponsor called DoorDash. And let me tell you, it is incredible. As a single guy, I use it all the time. I don't love cooking every single day. And I'm actually moving next week. So my apartment's pretty sparse. I'm packing, I'm cleaning, I'm organizing, I'm just planning. I don't have time to cook. I'm going to be using DoorDash pretty much daily. Lunch, dinner, breakfast, doesn't matter. 24/7, it's unreal. If you're in the U.S., use promo code GlovesDDUS. You'll get 25% off your first order and free shipping or free delivery. And then if you're in Canada, same thing. It's just GlovesDD. Check it out, DoorDash. You can use it on your app. Download it today.
What does the coach tell you before the game? They usually, we want you to do this, and this. What does he tell Michael Pezzetta to go out there and do? What are your expectations? Because you're not expected to score a million goals. What's What do you have to do on a night in and night out basis?
Just play solid hockey. Like, I'm out there, I'm trying to bring energy for all the guys. Like, just play solid shifts. Like, go spend time in the offensive zone. Like, go forecheck hard, spend minutes down there, really bring the energy, bring the crowd into it if we're at home. And it's just like, get pucks moving and like be a voice on the bench. And I think that's just what I'm trying to do every night right now. And just be solid defensively when I can. And just spend time in the offensive zone, just cycling and moving the puck around.
Do you think you're a marked guy now that you fought Reeves? You've put that label on yourself. Like, okay, I hung with the big dog. Now every city I go into, everyone's going to look for Pezzetti. Where is he? Where he's at? And you have to just watch your back now. What do you get that sense that you have a reputation already?
No, I don't think so. Like, maybe if I beat him up, then a lot of guys would
didn't get knocked out, you know, and not that he knocks guys out, but listen, he's the Bob Probert of our era. Like, that, he's the guy.
Yeah, he's strong for sure. And like, I mean, landed a couple body shots. I was swimming a little bit there, but I know that if I would do it again, I know I could hold my own better than what I did in that fight. Like,
rematch. I love it. He's calling him out here, Tim.
No, I'm not calling him out, but I think like the way I play, and you know, like guys that play my way, when you make big hits, like guys want to step in there and fight. And I got no problem fighting with anybody, but it's sometimes like you make a big hit, I don't feel like you got to fight every single time you do that. So maybe it's just picking and choosing what's going on out there. But I'm going to be playing the same way, and I'm never going to stand down anybody if they're picking on me or picking on somebody else. So I'll always be around playing the same way.
You ran into Borowicki, who is, I think, one of the most underrated fighters in the NHL. Do you get nervous? You're fighting the toughest guys in the league. And we mentioned your resume. Like, I know when I played, like, I was top three in the NHL heavyweights. Like, I'm 6'8", 270. Like, I had an advantage over everybody, and I got nervous fighting these heavy weights. Do you get nervous? You're biting off more than you can chew, or are you just like, I'm going for it, you know?
Look, I'm here. Like, I made a big hit behind the net. He challenged me, and he was up in my face. It's just like, can't really say no. And I put my head down, and I kind of just don't think. And it was just like, throw now and think later. And that's kind of my attitude towards that. Like, yeah, it's a little nerve wracking sometimes. Like, you know how it is. Like, you're thinking like, hey, I might have to go against this guy. Like, he's a big boy too. Like, you know that these punches can do some damage, and you don't want to be just on the ground and your parents watching on TV or at the game. And obviously they're feeling bad for you, but like, no, I wouldn't say that I'm nervous. Like, I'm comfortable. Like, I'm comfortable doing that if I have to, and I'm comfortable with that side of the game. And again, I'm trying to make the best of my chances here, and I'm just trying to show that I'm willing to do anything that it takes. So, I wouldn't say I'm nervous, no.
It's such a cool story. You were drafted, like we mentioned, what was it, 100 and some overall?
160th.
You can count the amount of guys on one hand who make it to the NHL who get drafted plus 150. Mm-hmm. You're in the NHL right now. You're making a difference. You're on the best hockey podcast, arguably, in the whole world. Do you ever just have a chance to sit back with your girlfriend in the hotel and be like, man, this is cool. Like, what, this is pretty neat what we're doing here.
Yeah. And it's crazy because everything's been happening so fast. Like, the schedule is just insane right now. Like, we're pretty much playing every other day. So, I know like 10 games had gone by and it was just like, whoa, like that happened like real fast. And then I just sat down for a second. I just thought to myself, like, this is pretty cool. Like, my whole life I've dreamed of playing in the NHL, and I've had some tough times. And like, I've had some times where I'm sitting in the minors and I'm getting scratched 5-6 games in a row, and I'm just by myself out there bag skating just game after game. And you're sitting there and you're like, what am I doing wrong? Like, I just like, I want this so bad. And I'm just working so hard. And it's just like, I'm not getting a chance, you know, give me a chance. And I know this preseason, I played my first preseason games in the NHL, and I just finally got a chance to play. And it was just like such a just good feeling. And obviously I did well. And then I got my chance to play, and it was just like I sat here and I worked hard, and so many people told me like, I couldn't do it. Or, you know, when people look at you and they just like look down on you or like laugh at you, not like, I mean, not to your face, but you know how it is. And it's just like, hey, like, I'm here and you're not, quite frankly. And it's just because I outworked you. And that's what it comes down to.
Was it more special for you? And we're getting sappy now. I don't know why, but I can relate to your story. How cool was it after your first game when you stepped out and your parents are there and everybody was there to be like, just enjoy the moment with like everybody, your closest friends and family?
It was so surreal and it worked out perfect. Like it was in Montreal. It's not too far from home. My parents came down, my cousins, all my buddies, some of my brother's buddies. And I don't know, there was like 30 something people at the game and we saw them all outside at the Bell Center. And I just came out and a bunch of people bought my jerseys. And it was just like we did it. It was almost like we did it together, you know, like these guys have been supporting me my whole time. Obviously my family's sacrificed so much for me to get here. And it's just like, it was awesome. And to be able to do it with them there in the building and like, felt like we did this together, you know, like everyone's been always rooting for me and dreaming that I'm going to do it. And it happened and it was special that they were there.
Now, are they a part of your entourage now? Because you're making the do-re-mi, the bank account's fat. Are they living in Montreal now, going out every night and like, put it on Pizzetta's tab? Is that how it's going now? Or
No. But everyone stuck around for like, we were at home for like the first 2 weeks. So everyone kind of just ended up sticking around for quite a while. I know my buddies came up for the game and then drove back that night and had to go to work the next day, but then they came back up. And my family just stuck around. Some of my cousins, my brother and his girlfriend and stuff. So it was a pretty crazy first 2 weeks, just long homestand. And I got in every game. So it was pretty cool.
That's funny. All right. I said that at the beginning of the show, I wanted to backtrack to Sudbury because I was watching your fights. You know, you're a good fighter. You like to just stick your nose in there and chuck them. And then I came across this fight you had versus Owen Sound, Jacob Friend, both captains of your team. I think it was in preseason. I want all of our listeners to go and watch this fight because it is potentially one of the best fights I've ever seen. Can you just, what's your fighting style? A, and B, how did you not knock this guy out in this fight? Because you had at least 5 or 7 straight down Main Street bombs to his face. And the guy must have cement in his face because he just like waving the refs off. And I'm like, buddy, just go down. And Michael's just literally like pounding his face like you tenderize meat. What's your style and how did that fight happen? Because it's preseason and two captains are going at it. I was just so enthralled by this fight.
Yeah, my style is just kind of just get in there and just start throwing, you know, like throw punches and think later. And I'm working on some things here and there. But for me, it's just like I just like getting in there and I just like going. Like I just get so fired up. And I know maybe that's not the smartest sometimes. And you might take a little more damage than you'd like sometimes. But to me, that's the most fun is just get in there and start throwing. And that one actually... Well, when we were playing junior, so they switched to a 3-fight rule.
Yeah.
When I was in the league, so there was like you could only fight 3 times in a season, and there wasn't many guys that would actually fight me in the OHL anymore.
No big deal.
And because that was my 4th year, and that actually wasn't preseason. So before the game, I texted my buddy on Owen Sound. I was like, hey, look, like, tell Friend, like, are we gonna do this? Cause he's tough too. He led the league in fights like 2 years before, I think. And I was like, like I can't go the whole season without fighting. Like I'm
you
supposed
texted
to be like,
the guy on the other team to tell Friend we're doing it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just to see if he like, it's like, all right, is this happening? And he's
That's
like,
an
yeah,
alpha male
so
move.
Like, so he's like, all right. And so first shift, we're just like, hey, let's get it out of the way early. I think it was the first period. And, I was just throwing and I kept hitting him in the face. I'm like, how is this guy? I dropped him twice, I think. And then at one point, he's waving the refs off. I thought he was waving the refs in. I'm like, I can't even stand up. I'm exhausted. I've just been throwing punches this whole time. And he's waving them off. And I was like, damn, this guy's got a cement head.
He definitely, it was insane. Go watch that fight. I guarantee you nobody's watched that fight. Check it out on hockeyfights.com. Pizzetta versus Friend. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. That's when I noticed your hair and your girlfriend was there when we first started the podcast. Does she like your hair? In all honesty?
Yeah, I think she likes long hair. I think she'd probably like if I cut it a little bit. And I think I definitely look a little better when it's cut, but I'm not sure I'm allowed to shave the mustache or the hair anytime soon. So I'll stick around.
Is it a cult? Are you like the new George Peros of the league where it's just, that's your shtick now?
I think so. And just kind of started as like a COVID, like I was just like, screw it. Like I can't really grow facial hair that well. So I was like, I'll just grow my mustache out and let the hair go. And all of a sudden, it's just stuck around.
So when you look in the mirror, you're like, nice. I like it.
Yeah.
It's a different look. I think it's definitely something that catches the people's eye. So, okay, a couple more. Number 55, why? You were 13 in juniors. You were 23 in Laval. Did they just say here, have Sergei Gonchar's number?
I didn't get a pick. I just showed up. I had a number. I'm like, thank you. So that was 55. And it's starting to grow on me a little bit. So I'm kind of liking it now. And but yeah, it's definitely just handed to me. And I'm not someone who's like, hey, can I actually have this number?
You know what? I'd rather have 23.
Yeah. Don't get a pick. So that's why 55.
That's funny. Now, that's how it is when you're a rookie schmelt. You get whatever they give you and you like it and you just really enjoy it. All right. Before we came on, I was like, I'm not going to talk about the Habs too much because we all know they're struggling. We all know the situation Montreal's in. It's not great compared to last year. High expectations. Lots of new guys came in. What's the vibe like in the room? Like, what is it fun to go to the rink? You know, you had the GM get fired. The players can't be happy. You're not playing up to your expectations. What's it like in Montreal now? Just give us a bird's eye view of the life in Montreal.
I mean, it's tough. Obviously, like these fans pay a lot of money and this is like religion to them here in Montreal. So obviously when the team's not doing well, it's hard on them and that makes it hard on us, right? Like everything that they're talking about is us not doing well in the media and all that sort of stuff. So it's tough. And obviously like nobody plays hockey to lose. Everyone wants to win when they're out there. And so some days are tougher than others, but honestly, like it's like I said before, it's a great group of guys and everyone's trying their best to just stay positive and just get through this right now. Like there's no point in coming to the rink and everyone's just getting on each other. Like I've been on teams in junior where the mood's so negative that it's just such a toxic environment, like at the rink, and it's just there's nothing positive. Like you're still losing and now it's just toxic at the rink. So guys are doing the best they can to stay positive at the rink and bring like just good energy. And like, that's the best way to turn it around. I think like if we're constantly negative, it just doesn't help anybody. So
no, I've been on teams that are worse than you guys. Our Sabres, we were trying to set the record for the least goals scored in a season. It's tough. It's tough. But the guys who turn it around are guys like you who can kind of bring some energy, some for the guys to rally around. So I think what you're bringing to Montreal is cool. I think you're having an impact even greater than, you know, not that I want to blow your head up, but it's cool to see you in Montreal because they don't have players like that often. It's really, the fans love it. They're gravitating towards you. All right. Now I know you got to, you know, probably prep for the game. You're busy, busy, busy. Tim does rapid fire questions. We've done it with all the guys in the league. Most of the answers are very boring. I expect big things out of you, Michael. I feel like we're kindred spirits. I feel like we connect. So Tim's going to break down some questions. I want some great answers. Okay, no pressure. Come on, you can do it.
All right, rapid fire. Just don't think about it. Favorite movie?
Taken. First one.
Good one. Pizza or tacos?
Pizza for sure.
Favorite subject in school?
Math and science.
Favorite vacation spot?
Coolest spot I got in St. Lucia.
Favorite sport besides hockey?
Football.
What shows are you binging right now?
Yellowstone.
Very good things. I haven't seen it.
Unbelievable show.
Yeah, that's what people keep saying. John never heard of it. John, tell him, do you have a TV at home?
I don't have a TV, Michael.
No?
No, I have six kids. I have no time to watch TV. So
yeah, that'd be pretty tough.
Does your girlfriend want kids?
We are nowhere near that.
Michael, stop. You got to have these conversations.
Like, I'm sure she does, but that's not something we're talking about right now.
You're stuck in a hotel room in Montreal. What better place to plan out your future? It's such a beautiful opportunity for you.
I'm still a baby, so we'll wait a few more years for that.
All right. You're only 23, but, you know, time tick, 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 tock, Michael. You know what I mean? All right. Anything else, Tim, you want to ask Michael? Because I could go on for days.
No, this is good. Thank you for coming on. This has been great.
Yeah, no worries, guys. yeah, I'm having a good time too, and I could talk forever. So
who are you going to call out? You play Chicago on Thursday. Who are you texting that you know on Chicago to say, I'm going to fight this guy?
Probably nobody. I just let the play speak for itself. Like, I'm going to go out there, play the same way. And, you know, when you're playing that style, things just come your way. So I never really try to go out looking for stuff, but usually just as a way of finding me. So we'll just let that keep happening.
So I'm going to text Patrick Kane now, just to ballpark. If there's a guy you want to just let me know, and I'll text Kaner, say, hey, Pizzetti's going to fight insert name here. Who would that name be? Is it Marc-Andre Fleury? Are you going to just blow it out the water? Like, let's go big.
maybe just blow them up and then see what happens from there. But no, that's probably not a good idea.
Oh, that's funny, man. Well, listen, it's very exciting watching you. It's a breath of fresh air to see you ripping around the ice. I love it. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for your story. I hope you have a long career. Just keep doing what you're doing, man. Don't let the success get to your head. That's my only advice, because you're doing the right things and you're doing them the right way. So good luck along the way. Hopefully you guys get some wins under your belt and you can sign a big new contract, and we'll be talking to you next year, and you'll be driving around, you'll be married, baby on the way. Oh, it'll be just so great. It'll be very exciting. That being said, thanks for coming on the show, man. I really appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the way.
Yeah, thank you guys, and thank you for having me. It was fun.
No problem. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you on Friday. Cheers.
What an interview with Prezetta. That was honestly one of the best ones we've ever had. I can tell John was just loving his story, loving his energy, loving the attitude that he had. So definitely one of our favorites. And before we wrap up, I'm going to give you our, of course, the points bet pick. This one's a bit of a homer pick. We have the Bruins playing the Canucks tonight. This is an important game for the Bruins. They're 6-3-1 in their last 10, but they lost last week, their last game. They haven't really looked like themselves. It's the Stanley Cup rematch, obviously. The Bruins are favored, but not by a whole bunch. It's minus 131. In my opinion, they should be favored more. The Canucks did not look great. I am going to go with the Boston Bruins money line over Vancouver tonight. Lock it in. Bet the 401k. Done.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.